Go ahead and get our Bibles open up to John chapter number 3. As I told you a few years ago, we started doing this Saturday and Sunday night performance, Sunday morning performances. And normally I have a different message from Saturday night to Sunday morning. The Lord kind of laid it upon my heart to stick with the one, at least something similar to what we talked about last night. Lots of different people here this morning that wasn't here last night. If you were here last night, hopefully you enjoy it a second time. Or maybe if you were sleeping yesterday, maybe you'll be awake today. So I'm sure it'll be something a little different than it was yesterday. Like I said, they all did a good job. We'll give you a chance to show your appreciation in just a few minutes. But when you come to the message portion of this, of a Christmas program, the emphasis is found on presenting that great gift that God offers and only God can offer, which is eternal life. There's a verse in the Bible, towards the end of the verse in Psalms 90, verse 9, the Bible says, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." And it thinks about it, it's talking about the story of our life. Now, there are some similarities in our stories. Last night, I told you that I was born on August 27th, 1973, in Elkton, Maryland, at Union Hospital to Downer Dwayne Pease. He's a senior now. He wasn't back then. Thankfully, I'm not the Downard. And Mildred May Pease. And I can honestly say, I believe nobody else in this room can say those exact same things. I won't tell the joke about the long lost twin brother, because somebody says that one of my kids looked like it, that could be it. But I won't tell that joke again. But at the same time, it was the beginning of my story. Jesus had no beginning. Jesus is God who came in flesh. He was there before the foundations of the world. He has no beginning. He's different. But all of us have a beginning. All of us have a birth. All of us someday will have physical death. So those are some similarities that are there. All of us have certain things that we're like. All of us need oxygen. All of us need certain things that are similar. But there are some differences in our lives too. As I said, nobody else can probably say they were born in 1973 in Elkton, Maryland at Union Hospital. Maybe there's somebody who can say that here besides me, but I really doubt it. And even though our beginnings are different and our ends, nobody knows how long we're going to live, will be different. There's a story that's told from that beginning to that end. And then even after physical death, there is a life that's after that. The Bible calls it eternal life, everlasting life, talking about those going to heaven. But also, there's a different end to the story where there are those who will, as the Bible says, go to a horrible place called hell. And when we consider all the different stories that each of us have, some have really, really long stories, some have short stories, some are making the stories as it goes along, and they're changing the stories of their life. But in the Bible, there are so many great and fantastic stories. And in John chapter number 3, I would like to quickly show you three different people's stories. First one is found in John chapter number 3. It's a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. If you know much about the Bible, especially in the New Testament, the Pharisees were someone who were known for being super, super religious, ritualistic, very, very staunch, very steadfast in what they believed. And they believed that they had favor with God for all these things they did, all the different works that they did. And Nicodemus was someone who knew he needed something, and he came to Christ. He knew he had a problem, and he came to Jesus one evening. If you go to John chapter 4, just one page over probably in your Bible, you find a woman there that is a Samaritan woman that was coming to the well to be able to get some water out. Most of us know her as the woman at the well. But unlike Nicodemus, who probably lived most of his life, at least his adult life, very, very rigid, very, very, in his own mind, righteous and ritualistic and did all these things for God, you have a woman over here who, what most people would say, was living in sin, living in adultery. So if you look at the different story inside her, you look a little deeper, she was probably an outcast inside her community, especially amongst the women. And she was somebody who Jesus met too. Then you go to John chapter number 5, and there's a man there that's sitting by a pool. At this pool, he's sitting. The reason why he's waiting for the pool is not because he's sunbathing. He's waiting for a miracle to happen. So why does he need a miracle? For 38 years, this man has been crippled. Almost paralyzed. He's impotent in a sense into where he can't get himself in the water to be able to get himself healed like he believed was going to happen. The amazing thing about all three of these different Bible characters, even though one was super, super self-righteous and one who probably knew that she was doing wrong and needed help and one who was just sick and needed help, all three of these had the same need. As I talk about things that are different in our lives and things that are same, there is something that's similar about all of us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have a sin problem. Nicodemus had it. The woman at the well had it. This man who was sitting by the pool had it. And Jesus comes into their life and enters into their life and has a personal encounter with each and every single one of them. And even though he said something different to each one, he said to all of them, you have a need that only I can meet. If you look in John chapter 3 and verse number 7, he looked and he said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say said unto thee, ye must be born again. He says, despite all this religious stuff that you do, despite all these things that you do in the name of God, there is something that you need to do. And there's a lot of people out there today that are doing things that are religious and doing things in the name of God and sometimes even going farther and doing more. But it's a false religion. It's a false belief because they believe that's what's going to earn into heaven someday. And I believe Jesus would look at them and say, just like he said to Nicodemus, that's not going to get you right with God. You must be born again. Then he looks at the woman in the well. If you want to take your Bible to John chapter number 4. In John chapter number 4, verse number 10, we're going to look at it in a second. He goes and he asks the lady for a drink. Actually, we'll pick up in verse number 7. It says, in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Remember, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They didn't even speak to each other. And the fact that there was a Jew asking the Samaritan for something, this woman is surprised, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I love that phrase, if thou knewest the gift of God. If what he's saying to this woman who is, once again, what most of the world would say is living in sin and is struggling, he looks at her and he says, if you only understood what God could do for you, if thou knewest the gift of God, it would change your entire life. You go to John chapter number 5, you see this man that's there, and look at verse number 5. It says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And if you consider what he's saying to this man that's sitting by this pool, he looks at him and asks him a question that many people would say, well, that's just a mean question. Why would Jesus ask that? Well, Jesus, when God asked us the question, remember, Jesus was God that came in the flesh. He's not looking for information. We ask questions so we can learn something. When God asks us the question, he already knows it all. He's revealing something to that individual about himself or about the situation. He says, will thou be made whole? And the man looks at him and probably feels the same way. Of course I want to be made whole. And he makes up his reason. Well, I can't be made whole because of this. Jesus is not asking what you can do and what you can't do. He's looking at this man and he says, will thou be made whole? Jesus has the power and ability to heal this man. And he's saying, do you want to be made whole? And if you look at the verse number, I believe is in verse number 8, it says, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So, Pastor, that's fine. There's three different stories. Really, none of these stories match up in my life. Well, that's the cool thing is we have our own stories. And we have the opportunity, with God's help, to change the world in our stories. He said, what do you mean, change the world? I mean, the best thing you can do with your life is find out what the will of God is and then do it. And the will of God, I believe, for every individual is he's not willing that any should perish, that all men would come to repentance. He has a desire to see everyone to be right in a relationship with him. Whether it's a person who has done religious things all their life and they think they're doing things for God, but in all reality, they're dead inside. Even though they may dress up really pretty, but inside they know there's a need. And that's why Nicodemus came. And Nicodemus, at that moment in time, I don't believe he got it right. We don't see in the Bible where he gets right at that moment. But we know later on he helps when Jesus had died and taking him off the cross. He was somebody that later on, I believe, became a believer. And we see this woman here, and maybe you've done some wicked things in your life, and maybe you don't think you're good enough to be able to have God forgive you and that God give you salvation and for God to do all these things for you. But the reason why Jesus came to this earth was to die for sinners. Whether you think they're the righteous type of sinner or the wicked type of sinner, it doesn't matter. We're all sinners in God's eyes, and we all need a Savior. And I think that what God looks at us and asks us this question, will thou be made whole? He's provided the way. He's given us the opportunity. He's told us the story. And even though some people try to take Christ out of Christmas and try to distract it with so many other things, we celebrate the day that God became man and was born in this world. And it's a story that many, many Americans know. And it's something that's there. And here's the question is, will you be made whole? He said, what do you mean be made whole? One of those things we're all similar with, and one of those things that we're all like in, as I alluded to earlier, is that we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So what in our story, that when we were born, death was passed along to us. So what in the world does it mean sin? Sin is anything that we do wrong. Anything that displeases God. Sin could be something you look at and you can say, well, that's lying, that's cheating, that's stealing. The Bible goes even as far as saying a wrong thought. You go down those Ten Commandments and say, have you ever put anything before God? I think all of us would say, yep. I think if you look at the Ten Commandments and you say, have you ever told a lie? The answer would be, of course. And if you say no, then you're probably lying right there. Have you ever committed adultery? Oh, no, I would never do that. But according to God's standard, if you ever had a dirty thought in your mind, is as if committing adultery. We all fail here. We all are similar to this. We all have a sin nature, and we all are sinners, except for one that came to this world. You say, well, how come he was different? It's because he was virgin born. It was Jesus Christ. He lived that perfect life. He became our perfect sacrifice. When you think about from Christmas to Calvary, you consider that Jesus came to die, and the reason why he came to die was to pay our sin debt for us. He became our propitiation. He took our place. He was willing to be the sacrifice to pay our sin debt for us. And so that's why he can look at all mankind and say, will thou be made whole, like he said to this man. It would be wrong for someone to walk up to this man and say, hey, you want to be healed? And not have the power to do it. That would be mocking. God said to this man, will thou be made whole? Because God knew he could heal him. So when the Bible, when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not mocking you. He's not giving you a joke. He's saying, I gave my son because you were perishing. And if you will believe on him, you can have everlasting life. It would not be like God, God who is perfect and God who is holy, to say, will thou be made whole? And then say, no, not you. Even on the cross, as he was dying, there was a thief that was dying next to him who was mocking him earlier, that looked to Jesus and said, remembers me that when thou enterest in thy kingdom. And Jesus says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Even on the cross. Now, this man would probably be more like this Samaritan woman, the man who had done so much sin, had done so much wrong, that the Roman governor, who usually was just, he wasn't just in Jesus' case, but normally was just, said, you have done so much wickedness, you deserve to hang on a tree and die for your sins and all the things you've done wrong. That man was able to turn to God. And I don't care what you've done today. God is saying, will thou be made whole? You can turn to him. You can put your faith and trust in him. Whether you're somebody who's been going to church all your life, doing religious things, or a person who maybe has been involved in sin all their life, or maybe just in the middle. You know what? I've never really been to church, but I've never really done that much bad. It doesn't matter. We all have the same story. We all have this sin problem that must be dealt with. The wonderful thing is, that's the hope that was born that day. It was a hope that was going to deal with our sin problem and our sin need. The Bible says that that sin, that there's a wage for that sin. Because I know what I've had people say to me, well, if we're all sinners, then what's the big deal? Because there's a wage that has to be paid. The wages of sin is death. That death is talking about eternal separation from God forever in a horrible place called hell. But the gift that's involved is found in the same verse. But the gift of God is everlasting life. He's saying, will thou be made whole? Do you want everlasting life? And if you consider that story, you hear that story, you're like, of course I do. Of course I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Of course I don't want that. And it's amazing. All three of these people from all different walks of life, having different sets of friends, even from different areas, having a different story, all the different things happening in their life, they all had the same need, but God could meet all those needs. So today, the question is, will that be made whole? You say, well, how in the world can I have everlasting life? The great thing is the Bible tells you. The Bible tells you to believe. The scriptures also say in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love, which means he proved, he showed, he demonstrated his love toward us. Who's the word us? I believe he's talking about the world. That while we are yet sinners, talking about how we were all sinners, unable to save ourselves, Christ died for us to pay that sacrifice. And the wonderful thing is, he paid it for us. He paid for all of us. And we can believe in him. You continue on, you think in Romans chapter 10, I remember a story was told about a preacher that was stopped at, I think it was the Canadian border. And he was a preacher, and he didn't have his ID or his passport, and he was trying to get into the border, and they wouldn't let him in. And he says, well, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. And the guard says, well, if you're a preacher, tell me in one or two verses how to get to heaven. And he quoted these verses. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You hear that word saved, it comes back to that you think, well, when I think about saving someone, I think about a person who's dying in a fire, and the firefighter will break through and save that person out of the house from a certain death. That's what he's talking about here. We have a need, and that need is going to send us to hell. And Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. Even when the angel came and proclaimed it to the shepherds, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's saying there's the person who's going to save his people from their sins. He is our Savior. And the Bible says if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that we can be saved. And it's a message for everyone. And even a few verses later said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you consider all these things, you wrap it all together. Jesus had what Nicodemus needed. Jesus had what the Samaritan woman needed. Jesus had with this man who was sitting by this well, by this pool, waiting just for some type of miracle. He had what they needed, all three of them. I don't care where you're at in your story, no matter how old or how young, if you're able to understand it, depending on your age, he has exactly what you need is by believing and trusting in him. You say, Pastor, that's cool. I believe there's a God. Well, congratulations. There's a lot of people who aren't going to heaven that believe there's a God. And I'm not being smart because the Bible even says that the devils believe and that they tremble at the thought of who God is. There's many people today that don't believe in a God and don't tremble at God or even think that there's a God out there, but they had the wrong view of God. But the question is, will thou be made whole today? Will you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you never have? The opportunity is there. He is able to. He's asking. The offer is there. It's come. But what do you believe about him? I know some say, I believe in God. What do you believe about him? Do you believe that God created the world? Do you believe that God sent his own son, that Jesus, God himself, God's son, came in the flesh to die for our sins? More importantly, do you believe that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior? I told you that my story, I was born August 27, 1973. I was born again like Jesus talked about Nicodemus. back in April, and probably about 1981 or 1982. I was born again. I got saved. I'd been going to church my whole life. I was sitting in a pew probably two rows back. It was a revival on a Saturday night. Dick Seaton was up there, and he was preaching. He was preaching his heart out. And for the first time in my life, I was convicted when I heard that man preach. And that conviction was, hey, you're a sinner. You need what that man's talking about. You need me. And I had gone to church. I had won the Sunday school awards. I had ridden the bus. And I had learned verses. I had brought people. I did all those things. But that was not enough to get to heaven. God spoke to my heart and said, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And that night I went forward. And even though there was a woman there who was willing to help me, I already knew that I needed to put my faith and trust in God. I needed to turn from the things I was trusting in, thinking I was good enough just because I went to church and did all these righteous or religious things. I needed to put my faith and trust in Him. And I believed that He was God, and I saw myself a sinner, and I asked Him to save me. And when he said, "Will thou be made whole?" You know what? I was made whole that day, spiritually. Everlasting life became my possession. And now I get to spend eternity in heaven. It's all found in the Bible. It's all there. And when you consider there was three different people from all different walks of life, and we're all, I know some people are teenagers in this room, some are young adults, some are middle-aged, some are older, some are really old. It doesn't really matter what age group we're in. There's plenty of children here today. Do you know Christ today? If you died today, would you go to heaven? The reality that is behind this story is we all have that need. We might not have a lot of similarities when it comes to our stories. Some may be rich. Some may be poor. Some may live in a different state. Some may have a big family. Some may not have anybody. But we all have a sin need that must be dealt with. Christ dealt with that need for us because we could not on our own. The only way we could ever do it is by spending eternity for spending eternity in a horrible place called hell. But God loved us so much that He did not desire that for us. So because of that, He was willing to come. And that's what Christmas is about. It gives us a hope that's not there for mankind. There is no other way in heaven. No other name under heaven. No other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Don't trust anything else. There is nothing else that will make you whole. And no matter what any person or religion or work that somebody might tell you, they may look at you and say, "Do you want to be made whole?" And whether they're as sincere as they can be, they are sincerely wrong. Because the Bible says, even Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you don't mind,